When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
So I get a text and I happen to still be up. Are you recording the video?
No.
Okay. So I happen to still be up.
1, 2, 3, 4.
You're listening to Cobras and Fire, a Pantheon podcast. This week, Bacos Plus One is the host of Metal Edge Presents, another FN podcast. I'm talking about Izzy Presley, baby.
A fun 2, 3, 4.
I prepped this a little bit, so I'm going to see if I can get this in one take.
Okay. Right.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. My name is Baco, and today my plus one is from Metal Sludge's Not a Defun... I couldn't do it! Oh! From Metal Sludge's, another fucking podcast.
No, it's not Metal Sludge. It's Metal Edge.
Jesus Christ. Believe it or not, I did know that. Maybe I'm just going to leave this in. Fuck it. From Metal Edge Presents, Not Another Fucking Podcast, Izzy Presley, with your host, Izzy Presley. Fuck it. Izzy Presley's in the house. Izzy, welcome to the program.
You almost got it. It's just Metal Edge Magazine's Another Effing Podcast. It's a mouthful, and trust me, I don't have many of those.
Yeah. Actually, we'll get into the food a little later. Well, I think you're wrong on that, but
that was a cock joke, my friend.
Well, I went a different direction, you know. Oh, how are you this evening, man? Good to have you on the program.
I'm great, dude. I appreciate it. Sorry, I'm just wiping out a little eye cheese. I had a late night last night. Apparently, when you get almost 50, 6 or 7 beers and 2 shots kind of knocks you out for a day. So I got up, I did some errands, and I got a nice little nap in, and I'm ready to roll. So I had to run. That's why I was a couple minutes late. I had to run and get some Red Bull, my third one of the day. Not good.
It's all good. This is not live TV or anything like that. So
I know.
And I want you at your best. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you need another 10 minutes, let me know. Yeah, you look amazing, by the way. Which, of course, you know, you don't. You look like hell, Izzy.
Exactly.
I was now as someone who we basically gotten to know each other a little bit through social media. I've probably listened to more of what you were doing because you were doing podcasting before I ever got into it. But you know, then we have some mutual friends that kind of shit, and we sarcastically comment. I'm not sure which one of us has stolen the other one's memes the most, but we've definitely taken a share from each other. So maybe it's the Minnesota sensibility in it and stuff like that. But it was a pleasure meeting you finally last summer in Nashville, your friend Dawson, who is it's his band, The Smoke and Kills, that you're part of, right? Or is it
yes, Mike Dawson from the Adam Carolla Show?
Yeah. Okay. Maybe you wanted to. How long? Well, let's touch on that real quick. The Smoke and Kills is kind of new to me. I didn't know about it even when I met you out in Nashville. Is it kind of a new project?
No, he's had, well, Dawson's been doing music for a while, and he put this band together, God, a couple years ago, and they recorded a record, which is available now, which is called The Last Honky Tonk Hero, and I was not on the album. I met Dawson, it was a couple years ago, I think he's had the band for about 3 years, and so I met him a couple years ago, because we do this show in Hollywood called Punchlines and Backlines, where we take a musician who's never done stand-up comedy before, and they have to do stand-up and then perform a few songs. And Dawson, I listen to Corolla. I love Corolla. I love Dawson on the show. He's great. I'm like, dude, Dawson would be awesome at this. He's like, absolutely. He came down, and we went out and got trashed that night. we got trashed at the bar right across the street from my house. Well, he forgot his guitar at the bar. So he's like, bro, do you have my guitar? I'm like, funny you should ask. I do not, but it's at the bar across the street. He's like, all right, dude, meet me over there at like 1 o'clock. So I went over there. We had a bloody. 13 hours later, I got home, and we were best bros. So just through hanging out, you know, through the pandemic, you know, and hearing the music and loving the music, he's like, dude, you want to be in the band? I need an extra guitar player. I'm like, absolutely. So it's great. So we've done a few shows now, and it's so fun.
What's the current status out there? You're in LA, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So like, as far as playing shows and stuff, is that shut down again right now, or is it still?
No. There's still shows going on. It's just, I mean, it's like, you know, Minneapolis, no, you're having to show a Vax card and all that shit, and we have to do that out here. So that's basically what it is. It's basically walk in with, you know, put your mask on, get a beer, take your mask off.
Right.
So it's just, that's basically what it is.
Is the Vax card thing like an LA County or that kind of thing rule? Or
LA
is it,
County.
Okay. Because the in Minneapolis and St. Paul, with the Twin Cities, it's up to the venues, which is oftentimes dictated by the artist. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so yeah. Well, I thought I saw something where they're just implementing it now.
Maybe it's starting soon, which would be just a little late, you would think. But, yeah, I just went to a show in December that required it, but they announced it, like, when the tickets went on sale
earlier
in the summer. So it wasn't really that big of a shock or anything like that. But on the Minnesota stuff, now I'm going to go off a memory of certain, because I don't even know where a lot of these things came from. It was something that I saw on Facebook or something I heard from one of your shows, or you've even been on. I've definitely heard you on Brandvold's podcast.
Yeah.
Of the coin. But you know, you're from St. Cloud.
Yep.
Now, did you basically, until you moved out to the West Coast, is that where you stayed, basically your home base?
I moved to Florida in 2010 for like 3 months. It just didn't work out. And then I moved back. And then
I got to say, Izzy, real quick, that's too bad, because you would have been a great Florida man.
Yeah, it just wasn't right.
Yeah, okay.
At the time, you know, they're lost. But actually, I did live in the cities from 2005 until about 2008.
Okay.
And then I moved back home. Then I moved to Florida, moved back home. And then 3 years later, boom.
And this might be something that's been years. Maybe I got this 100% wrong. Were you the guy who, like, for Universal or something like that, was entering the data entry for tracks on?
Yes.
You got to explain that. Let me just
Do that. So that was my first job out here. It was a temp gig with Universal Music. And basically what it was is Universal had purchased a bunch of record labels like they do. Mm-hmm. And so transferring everything into their metadata system. If you don't know what metadata is, that's basically all the shit that's on the record. You
if
know,
I ripped
all
my
the
CD, was that information populated from something you typed in?
Possibly.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Possibly. But actually, probably not, because that's already on the CD.
Okay.
This is just in their system and stuff like that. So basically, we had to go through and edit to make sure all that information was correct in our system as compared to what it was, like the typos, spaces, just stupid stuff like that. But it was a very boring, monotonous job, but it was cool because I got a lot of free records.
Right on. Did it pay okay? Or
it was like $15 an hour,
all right.
You know?
Well, let's pick it up from there then. Where did you start? Why podcasting? How did that kind of fall into your lap?
That, I made the decision to do that before I moved out here. Okay. When I was leaving Rockin' 101, podcasting was just starting to, that was 2013, podcasting was starting to become a thing. A lot more people were getting into it. And I'm like, well, shit, I got a radio background. I was, you know, music and sports director for RX Magazine for 5 years. 7 years, something like that. And I'm like, I can do this. I can do interviews. Why not? And so I actually, that was one of the plans that I had to come out here. I was just going to do it on the side for fun, see how long it lasts or whatever. 8 years later, 9 years later, here I am, you know, still doing it.
Yeah, I hear that. You get kind of fucking sucked in, you know. It's like we started this. I think we had like 3 episodes in 2 months, and you know, but 6 years later, now we're basically a weekly show. But
Well, that's important. And that's one thing that I said from the start. And it's like, you need continuity. You need people to know that this is where you're going to be every single week at this time. And that's why I'm so adamant about doing the show live, because you get that live interaction and people know, oh, Izzy's on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Now, you called it another effing podcast, but it was one of the first ones I ever heard.
Well, it was that was a joke.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a wrestling joke.
It would actually be more apropos right now.
Yeah, right. It's funny. It's like I'm going to call it another fucking podcast because everybody has a podcast. 9 years later, everybody and their grandmother has a podcast. Mm. You know, it's just, and more just keep popping up. It's like, how many do we need? You know, I mean, it's great. People want to, you know, express that they want to do their thing, and that's awesome. I'm all for it. I was like, yeah, come on. How many more do we need?
Yeah. I don't know. I think there's room for everybody. The reality
is
like,
I agree. I'm not shitting on anybody wanting to do it.
I didn't take it that way, but I actually used to think that almost like competitively, but when you realize it, that like, you know, most of them kind of disappear. If you're really worried about it from the competitive edge, there really isn't much there.
Yeah.
And if they do hang around, they're probably doing something good. And actually, I'll tell you this. I don't know what your background is, and we'll get into that in a second if there's some depth there. As far as like the music scene and stuff like that, and being a musician, because I do know you play. But the podcast community has been ridiculously more supportive than with music, it was like competitive. You're like fighting over like a gig you're not going to get paid for, and who has to headline. Yep. and you know, just petty little shit, and you know, you did something that people are going to remember and I didn't, so now I hate you. That kind of shit. Where in the podcast, it was like, it seemed like when you would do something good, you would hear from all your peers. And then when we met at the first Rockin' Pod, I met a lot of these guys for the first time. And it was just like, where was this positivity growing up? My parents really, like, my parents were fine, but they weren't like, you know, you're really getting good at music. You should pursue that. You know, it was just, I never really had that. And then when I got into the local scene, it was just, just ugly. I didn't like the competitiveness of it, I guess. But I never met somebody like our mutual friend Randy. If I met a guy like that, man, I mean, and look, I've only had a handful of conversations with him, so I don't want to be mischaracterizing him too much. But my Lord, first of all, I love this recent idea of like Act 1, Act 2, whatever. But I sat down and talked to him for our show for about an hour, and then we talked a little bit before and after, and it's just, he just seems like a very natural person when it comes to the creative stuff. So
he is. I was here. Just mentioned one thing about the podcasting community. I realized this in Nashville. We're the new Trekkies. We're the new Trekkies. We really are.
Yeah.
We're the dorks on the what was that radio called back in like the 70s? Not the CB, but there was like another radio.
Oh, ham radio.
Yeah, we're like the dorks on the ham radio. Yeah. But we love it.
But I've convinced myself when I go to Rockin' Pod that I'm the one cool guy. So I'm wrong.
Right? I'm better than all of you.
Yeah, I got way cooler cargo shorts than you. She's been beat by a boyfriend. We're not gonna take it anymore. But all right, well, let's get a little bit to your background then, because I want to catch up and get to know you a little more. Did you start a band? Were you ever in the music scene around here? We are about the same age. I don't know if we crossed paths at all in the past that way.
I had one band. Actually, I had two because I started ACK when I was still in Minnesota. And we had our first gig was my going away party. so fucking brilliant. Dude, I'm going to start a band. Then I'm just going to leave. Yeah. I had a band in the early 90s. It was my first band. It was called Mattias Black. Mm. And we, you know, I think we did three shows. You know, okay. Cover band. You know, it was what it was. It was fun. I was 21. It was my first time, you know, playing, you know, on stage in a band. Cause I used to jump up on stage I used to be the guy that used to annoy all the bands. Dude, let me come up and sing Cold Gin. I was that guy. And now I realize how annoying I was. I was so fucking annoying. But the first time I was ever on stage was Johnny Holmes brought me up to sing Margaritaville. And
how'd you do?
I did great. Johnny loved it. And he kept adding this. Dude, it's like so wild, dude. It's like I'm on stage in front of 2,000 people singing Jimmy Buffett right now. This is awesome. And then it was hooked. And I'm like, I'm done. there's no turning back now.
No doubt. And now you've recently gotten to some stand-up. I'm only bringing it up because you were talking about being on stage. Yeah. How are you following into that? What do you think about that, I guess?
It was just one of those things. Moving out here, I'm like, all right, I'll just get some job that I hate and live in LA, you know, and do the podcast. And I started doing background work in movies and TV and shit like that. And I'm like, I should do stand up. Cause I'm driving Lyft. I'm just making jokes up the whole time in my head. And I'm like, I could do this. And that's another thing. Once you start, man, it's you crave it. You know, 'cause I am what people will call an attention whore. When I'm hanging out, I'm not. I'm shy guy in the corner. But I love being on stage and I love entertaining. The only time I'm comfortable is when I got a microphone in my hand or in my face. You know
what
I mean?
I can relate to that.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, I've never been a guy that here's something, I don't know. I think it's kind of funny, but I am horrible at talking about gear. Like every now and then at a show, someone would be like, hey, what kind of setup you're using? And I'm like, well, that's my guitar. And I plug it in. I'm simplifying it a little bit, but seriously, it happened a couple times and I'm like, what the fuck's going on? I mean, cause at the back of my head, I'm like, I want to pee. I want to get a beer. And this guy wants fucking the rig breakdown. So my other guitar player, I started having him go talk to him cause he's much more comfortable at it. And frankly, he's going to have more gear to talk about anyway. I'm guitar, cable, amp, man. What do you want, man? You can see everything I'm doing, you know, it's just, you want to know what kind of strings I'm using?
Yeah, right? Hold on. I'm trying to figure how. It's been so long since I've been on Skype. I can't figure out how to make myself bigger. Is it? No?
I can't remember. Let me see if I can see it. Because I use this. You're big and I'm small on mine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I tried together mode. And I think that would just be on. I think it would just be on mine. So.
Yeah.
Let me do this.
You just really want to get a good look at yourself, don't
see
you?
See if it.
Yeah. What's
see,
that?
There we go. Now that changed shit. Okay, I'll go back. Oh my god!
Hold on, I'm gonna take a quick picture of that.
This is gold. This is fucking gold.
Oh, right there. Hey, there we are, buddy.
Oh my god, this is awesome.
All right, you want to do the rest of it this way, I think I can manage, but
alright, well we gotta hold on, go back to grid view and then see if I can pick a see if I can change this because they had a whole bunch of different ones.
Oh my god.
Oh shit, this is awesome. I'll just
it's like we're reporting the news from like Angkor Wat in Cambodia.
Nah, we'll just go back to the regular one. Okay. that's hilarious.
Now we should have done a video show.
If I could figure out how to change it to a different background, I would.
Let me see if I can do anything on my end. Nope, I don't. Oh, there we go. Yeah, it's not letting me choose anything either that I can't figure it out. I'm sure there's a way, but who cares?
Oh, good. Whatever. So this is fine.
Okay, we're just going to roll with it. All right, I don't even remember where the hell we left off. I'll tell you this. Rockin' 101 in St. Cloud was one of the, two or three radio stations that actually played my band, Jesus Christ. So I believe it was on, they did a Loudon local show kind of thing, right?
Yeah. It was called Minnesota Homegrown, and it's still going.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah, so. Tim Ryan does a great job with that.
Oh, still going?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A cool radio station, too. Now, has it been gobbled up by the three conglomerates?
Nope. Wow. Nope. Still rolling under Tri-County Broadcasting, and good for them.
I wish people would understand how that is an important factor in kind of like so many things in music that have kind of gotten fucked, but.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, the locally owned, locally operated stations, they're few and far between, but I think we're going to see a resurgence of that. Because you're seeing a lot of these stations that bought up all the, like your iHearts and all those big conglomerates, they're losing money hand over fist. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see a lot of stations getting sold off to local people again. So we'll see what happens.
Well, that'd be good. I think it would be good for music anyway, but.
Oh, absolutely. But this, the problem is nobody listens to radio anymore.
Yeah, this is true. I it still plays at my where I work. You know, it's like the background stuff, but I really don't get much out of it musically other than.
Well, look. Yeah, exactly. Because, look, they play. They have such a small playlist.
Mm-hmm.
And why? I mean, we don't want people changing the station. Well, here's the problem. You can hear anything you want at any time right here.
Yeah.
Touch of a button. You have to entertain people to keep people listening.
I'm having a hard time focusing with this thing. Can we undo it?
Dude, is it still on? Oh, I don't have it on my end.
Oh, really?
Oh, shit.
Okay, hold on. Then maybe it's something on my end. Now, let me just see if I can. What the hell?
Just go back to go click it. Click grid view.
Yeah. Oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. There we go.
There it goes.
Oh, so
you?
Sorry, I've been looking at that the whole time, and I'm. Oh my god! All right. Well, how many beers have you drank at the red carpet? That's a.
Oh my god! I think I have a chunk of liver left there. Another chunk of my liver died. When the press went up in flames.
Yeah, that was too bad. Is it gone? They didn't rebuild
it? It's gone, dude. Okay. It's gone. Last time I was in St. Cloud, it's still chained off and it's a hole.
That's too bad.
Yeah, dude. I spent so much time there, then I worked there for a long time, and that hurt. That hurt, man. When I saw that thing going, I'm like, I came to tears.
I believe it. That was always like I've only been to the red carpet I think twice, both for flip shows.
Nice,
but you kind of check into the press.
Yep.
For like a little pre-gaming almost.
Of course.
And then you walk over there, but the red carpet is hard to explain to people. It is one of the coolest places to just attend anything, but got the big band room, the small band room, and then I don't know, nine other. It just seems like the thing is cavernous.
Yeah, they got bars all over the place. It's awesome. They got a game room. Everything. It's awesome. Yeah.
It's like if someone turned the House on the Rock in Wisconsin into a bar. That's kind of how I would describe it. A lot of levels but. Well, let's talk flip. That was one of the first things that piqued my interest with you is that we both seem to be pretty big fans. Where did you get turned? Well, he's going to do a little show and tell here, so I'm not going to directly ask him a question. So I do see a triple humbucker Gibson. That's got to be an Ace Frehley model.
I figured, what would Bryn do? What would Bryn do? Bryn would pull out his Coyote.
Yeah.
Oh. But yes, I am a flip fan.
It wasn't that long ago, not terribly long ago, that I found out that was an actual model of a guitar that was produced. I thought it was like just something that Bryn kind of hacked around in. Because, the ones that he takes on stage, they're typically fairly well beat. And, I've actually, at one of the many shows I went to, they would pull somebody up on stage and he'd throw the guitar on them. I was that guy once. And so I got to play it a little bit, but anyway.
I got to play it too. I was that guy once as well.
So what got you into Flip? Let's start with your.
It was Randy. It was Freaky. Flip.
Did you know him before Flip or?
I knew Randy long before Flip. Yeah, he was. It was one night he was playing at the press on a Wednesday night, and we went every Wednesday night to see the band was called Freak, and it was him and Duff and Matt Moline. And Randy's like, "What the hell are you doing here? Flip is next door." I'm like, yeah, but my friend. I mean, somebody's like, no, fuck that. We're going over there on break. So he drugged me over there on break when Flip started. He's like, dude, they're like our Kiss.
Yeah.
Like, okay. And there it was. I was hooked. I was fucking hooked. And it's just the hooks and the vibe. And just, oh, Flip is Cheap Trick meets the Sex Pistols.
That's a good idea. Yeah, I like that. And obviously, the music is not so much Kiss as the visuals are, but yeah.
Right.
I always got the Cheap Trick comparison. I think they're actually a better Cheap Trick. I've never really connected with Cheap Trick.
Oh, you need to connect with Cheap Trick. Look, they were so influenced by Kiss that that's the reason that Flip has two P's is because Kiss has two S's.
Hmm. Well, yeah, there's that, but... on the Cheap Trick thing, I like they literally check off almost every box. And it's not that I don't like them. I've seen them a bunch of times. They're a good band. Yep. There's nothing there. It's just that, like, when I try to go deep dive on albums, I'm like, you know, it's like, you know, this is like Journey to me. I just give me the hits. And I'm not a guy who typically does that. And I would think that band of all the things.
You just need to start with Budokan and go backwards.
Okay. Nothing after?
No. I didn't say that.
Kind of sounded like it, Lizzie.
I didn't say that. But to get... to dive in, start at Budokan, go backwards, listen to those two or three albums, and then go post Budokan and dive in, and you'll be like, I fucking get it. I get it. Watch the – here's something you can do. Even though, yes, you have seen them live, you can find it. You can find it online. Find the DVD. Find the DVD of Cheap Trick Silver, their 25th anniversary show.
Okay.
They're playing outdoors in Chicago and there's thousands of people and they end up having an orchestra on stage and all this wild stuff. That show will hook you. That show will hook you.
All right, fair enough. I will, you know what? It doesn't take a whole lot to get me to try to go back and try. Cause cool name, cool logo. Just so many things about them just should like scream. You will dig these guys. But then,
yeah,
I don't know. Just,
It took me a while too. I had always been like you. It's like, yeah, just give me the hits, blah 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 blah. And then I saw him live at the Buffalo Run in Brainerd, and I'm like, those guys do this song. Those guys do this song, and I was like, fucking hooked. I was hooked.
Right on. It's swinging back. I just have to because I'm just noticing now. We're talking Minnesota a little bit here. Music, you're wearing a Slow Children shirt?
I am wearing a Slow Children shirt,
yes.
Oh, my God.
Is that vintage, I assume?
Yes, it is.
No.
This is old school.
Fuck, are they the ones that had the toilet on the stage? Or was that?
No.
There's these handful of bands like them, Uncle Chunk, and probably the one that I'm thinking of that used the toilet on the stage. Do you remember them or not?
No.
Never saw them? Okay.
I'm sure I did, but I just don't remember the shitter on stage.
Seems like something you remember.
You think it was something I would... No, you know what?
Porcelain God. Porcelain God, they were called.
I think I vaguely... There's a. Then no, I never saw Porcelain God.
Yeah, one of the way too many shows I went to at what was Orion's at the time.
Yeah. I think, you know what? I think I would have scoffed, saw that name and go, oh, that's dumb, and not go see them.
But yeah, I've definitely seen all those bands. Look, there were so many times that you would run into, especially that scene, that St. Paul, Ryan's kind of group, where it was like a lot of cover bands, but also a lot that would do originals, things of that nature.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Anyway, like I said, it just kind of turns into a blur after all these years. You know, I'm trying to, in preparation for this, was trying to remember some of the bands that we spent the most time with. I think I'm jumping to conclusions. Are you familiar with my band, Jesus Chrysler, even?
I am not.
Not offended at all. I mean, I'm really am, but no. I'll send you a T-shirt. You can wear it on somebody else's show. but yeah, there are a lot of really extreme metal bands that we would get kind of pulled into because mm-hmm. we were kind of heavy enough that we could play with them, but also light enough that these five band shows there'd be like some kind of like. Almost like a break for people to like, all right, we don't have to like slam into things for a little bit, but
yeah, right.
But, well, you covered sports for what did you say that was?
RX Magazine.
Okay.
I was a sports and music director. So I was in the press box for the Wild, for the Twins, you know, for the Wolves, occasionally for the Vikings. Vikings were a little bit harder because of the media available requests that they get. But I mean, there was one year that I missed one Wild home game I hit every Wild home game and I missed one Twins home game within the consecutive seasons.
That's a lot of,
so I was there a lot. And look, I was doing a weekly column, you know, so I didn't have to be there that often, but I had the season pass, might as well use it.
Hell yeah.
You know? It was great.
Do you think they should give the name of the North Stars back to us?
Does the hat?
Maybe it reminded me, but that's always been my take. It's like when yeah. I think the name Wild sucks.
But look, we're stuck with it.
Sure.
Look, I get it. Look, you have the Red Sox and you have the White Sox. There can be the Dallas Stars and the Minnesota North Stars.
They could be the Lone Stars. It would make way more fucking sense.
Yeah, exactly. Then they have a beer named after them.
Exactly.
You know?
Hey, see, look, you know, they're missing out. They're missing out here, man.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I think the ship has sailed. They can have it if they want it. The league owns it. The Dallas Stars do not own the name Minnesota North Stars. The league owns the name Minnesota North Stars. That is why the Winnipeg Jets were able to be called the Winnipeg Jets when they moved there from Atlanta.
Okay. Really? So that's a little different than it is in other sports, isn't it?
Yeah, the league owns the name, the rights, the likeness, yada, yada, yada. So there can be another Minnesota North Stars.
That's actually good to know because now if I want to buy an officially licensed Minnesota North Stars thing, I know I'm not funneling money to the evil empire.
Correct. All right. No, you are not. You know what's weird, though, man? I have a Dallas Stars sweater. And it's got Mark Parrish on it because Parrish is a bro and he's a Minnesota boy. Yada, yada, yada. Yeah. A couple years ago when they made that run, I was cheering for them. I'm like, fuck it. I'm in.
It's
like getting sucked back into that girl that you want to be over. You know, the Dallas Stars, that's the ex-wife that you wish you wish was your new girlfriend. The Dallas Stars are the ex-wife that fights with your new girlfriend who you wish your new girlfriend was, or I don't know, something like that, but you get what I mean.
I honestly couldn't root for KG for Boston, so I don't think there's anything that would, I think if I had a family member that played for the Stars, I would say fuck you. You might as well be playing for the Packers at that point. First of all, I hate a lot of teams, but there are certain ones that like, nope, there's just You know what, though?
And Mark explained this to me because I asked him, was like, what was it like when you pulled that Stars sweater on for the first time? He goes, because Parrish grew up right by the fucking Met Center. So he went to North Stars games. He was a North Stars fan. He is a North Stars fan. And he goes, dude, even though they're Dallas, it's still us, you know? Unless they're wearing,
I think it's different if you're the actual athlete. I mean, if I was drafted by the Packers, I would go play for the Packers, and I probably want to delete that part out of this episode. but as a fan, I just, oh my God, I've been through so much as a Minnesota fan, and I'm going to continue to hang in there. At this point, I don't really have another option other than to be some kind of phony. You know what I mean? So I can't. Yeah. I just,
you have. I can't keep talking. I want to show you something.
Okay. I can't just kind of sideways root for things too much. You know, I can root for Michael Jordan. I can almost appreciate Brady. But I can't root for the Packers. Not if my dad could coach the team and I wouldn't do it.
Damn you, Aaron Rodgers, for trying to make us like you.
Oh, God.
Are you familiar with this book?
Only in title. I haven't actually picked it up.
It is very well done, and I tell you what, if you want a fun interview, I'll get you Dan, who wrote this book. Yeah, it is, dude, it's really well done. It is it's painful. It's called History of Heartbreak, 100 Events That Tortured Minnesota Sports Fans.
Yeah, he was on KFan talking about that, and it
Yeah, he's one of my good friends. I can get that hooked up very easily.
I will be talking to you off air at some point on that. We'll definitely get that done. I'm not sure I'll probably try to line up at a good timing. I don't know, what's a good time to have that on during the Super Bowl?
Dude, it's Minnesota sports. Any time is
you're
a good
right.
time.
No matter
Dude,
what
I was just I was trying to explain it, and it's funny. I said it like this to Eric Bischoff, from wrestling, because Bischoff from the NWO, yada, yada, yada. But he's a Minnesota kid, and he worked for the AWA. And I go, being a Minnesota sports fan is like watching Hulk Hogan finally beat Nick Bockwinkle and Stanley Blackburn from the championship committee coming out and disqualifying Hogan because he threw Bockwinkle over the ropes and the ref didn't see it, and they have to give the belt back to Bockwinkle. That's what Minnesota sports fandom is like. Your heart gets ripped out of your ass. They tease us. They get us so close to, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Wide left.
Yeah.
That's Minnesota sports.
Why do you gotta go
and
there,
that's man? Why I envy Lions fan, because Lions fan knows that they are going to suck.
Yeah,
they don't tease them.
There is that. We rarely have. I mean, the Twins had a period there where they were just complete garbage. I guess the Timberwolves are typically usually shit. But the Wild, even on their bad seasons, are like, well, with a couple weeks to go, there's still a chance to make the playoffs. And the Vikings, you know, I don't know, this last season kind of reminds me of like the middle years of Denny Green, where it was just like a flat environment in the stadium. You got 93 owners and no real direction, and And then I actually like our owners. I have no criticism of them as far as a sports owner, but my God, it just seems like fuck, man, we're back at that, and it's just like,
You know, this is going to be weird for a lot of you Minnesota people to get, but
there's only like three that listen to this show. We're worldwide, Izzy.
So there's 9 people altogether, is what you're saying?
Yes, yes.
I jest, of course.
Almost.
Well,
that depends. Are you going to listen to this back?
maybe.
Yeah, so we'll 8 to 9, we'll say.
I'll check it out. I'll check it out.
Too bad.
I'm going to say this, and I'm going to proclaim this right now. I miss the Metrodome.
You know what? Have you been to the new stadium?
Twin Stadium?
No, the US...
I have not. I've driven by it, but I haven't been inside.
Okay, the one, first of all, I've never been a big fan of these new stadium complaints, like this I don't know, elite level of like, we rank 31st in food options. I'm like, what fucking, my God, there's restaurants outside this. You're going to get better food at a cheaper price. Why do you need more than a hot dog or nachos or a slice
exactly.
of pizza?
You don't need a fucking Hooters inside the arena.
And
you know,
but the one complaint that I stood by was what? Bathrooms and concourses. Now, they seem to have taken care of the bathroom thing. You can't go like 8 feet, it seems like, without hitting one. Some of them are smaller than others.
Yeah.
But the concourses, Izzy, I kid you not, are smaller. And
really?
And the everything is funneled through that one main entrance, which is gigantic. Yeah. But still, when you got when you're on the opposite end of 70,000 people, and you know the Metro at least had what I think 6 or 8 exits, like basically perfectly
all the way around. Yeah, actually more because they had the upper level and the lower level. Yeah,
right. Yeah, yeah. Yes, exactly. You could give, but anyway, so. It looks pretty. I like all that stuff. And then they have the final four there. And one of the coolest things about the new thing is that glass ceiling. Well, they've made curtains for it so they could fucking play basketball at night. It's like, sorry, we don't want the final four. We're not going to fucking, the one fucking glorious thing we got about this fucking thing, you want to like, well, what if we had drapes?
Yeah. It's just, I was one of the ones who sat in the upper level in left field in Metrodome to watch the Timberwolves.
Oh, that's actually a pretty cool thing. Because we were playing there, we set the single season attendance mark because we could have like a first time having an NBA. But I was at the 98 game that you referenced a little bit ago. I had Viking season tickets at that time. So for about 4 years, I was there quite a bit. I've been to a ton of concerts there. The piss
Monsters
trough was disgusting. Yeah, you're at Monsters of Rock.
Yeah.
All right,
dude. If I was a millionaire, if I won the lottery, if I won $500 million in the lottery, I was going to build a house. I would track down one of those troughs and have it installed into one of my bathrooms just because.
There is, like, I actually put that on Facebook at the time. I was like, well, can someone let me know how I can get one of these? I'm going to make a grill out of it.
That's good.
You know, women would complain about the lines in the women's room as if they just didn't see the line in the men's room. I'm like, you know, typically I give women a break. It's in public restrooms is typically, especially at a concert kind of event,
is a
bigger nightmare for women. But I'm sorry, at the Metrodome, you have no fucking clue. You're a herd of cattle going to an 80-foot slab of just like a cut of, and you're just fucking ass to ass, elbow to elbow, peeing into this metal thing. It was just the weirdest experience. It was, the Packer fans had it right. They would just use a sink. Then they have their own little personal urinal, but my God.
Packer fan. I can't remember what band I was with, but we were doing a gig somewhere in Wisconsin. I go, "Where's the pisser?" He goes, "Oh, it's around back of the shed back there." All right. It was a field. Only Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's a different. It is weird how like you just cross that river border and it's like it's an indifferent world altogether. It's
or as we like to call it, the cheddar curtain.
The cheddar. I like that. Yeah.
All right, dude. All right, so let's name drop some old school name bands.
Let's get back to music. What do you got?
So hold on, just off the top of my head, I'm just gonna roll through a bunch. Some of them you probably heard of, some of them you probably have not. Passion, which turned into Five Guys. Of course, you know, the almighty Slave Raider. You had Gemini.
Another Southern Minnesota down by my neck of the woods.
Well, they were still.
Well, they played everywhere, but they were based on a Faribault, basically.
Decibel, Pavlov's Dogs, which I think turned into Decibel. I think I can't remember.
They went back and forth.
They sounded just like Queensryche, and the guy can sing Steelheart. It was amazing. Trying to think of all the ones that used to come through. The Kickhead was another one. Kickhead, of course, the almighty, even though they're not Minnesota band, but they play in Minnesota a lot. Itis.
I forgot about Itis.
Yeah. And of course, you had your St. Cloud icons like Riff Raff, where Randy came from, Randy's first big band. Requiem.
Real quick, I just want to clear it for the listeners in case I didn't make it clear earlier. We both kind of mentioned Randy. Randy Ingebrigtsen, who is Freaky from Flip. So, anyway.
And Hairball.
Absolutely Hairball, yeah. So.
And Hairball. Xenolith. Xenolith. Switch. Johnny Home and the Traveling Fun Show, as we alluded to before. Yep. Heartbeat. Bob and the Beachcombers. The Rockin' Hollywoods.
Oh, now, what about who is that band that played fucking Valley Fair all the time? They were in that kind of vein.
I think it was Johnny Holm.
Well, he did. God, I'm they're like a menudo for people who like 50s music. They had a kind of a rotating lineup over the year. God, the White Sidewalls.
Oh, my God, the White Sidewalls. Wow, nice pull.
Yeah. How about Lamont Cranston?
Mm. Upper Mississippi Shakedown,
fuck
baby.
Yeah. Well, we both mentioned Flip, but did you dig The Odd Fathers?
I was the fourth person to see The Odd Fathers rehearse. Bryn called me, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. Probably going to go on a beer and maybe jerk off. I don't know. Come down to the cities. Okay. Come watch us rehearse. You go, what is it? I'm not going to tell you. Okay. So I sat in that room with them playing at, stage volume level at Flip volume level, and my ears were hurting, but it was beautiful.
Yeah.
And I booked their very first show. I was a promoter for their very first show.
Really? Where is that?
Yeah. That was at a theater in St. Cloud. What the hell is the name of the theater? I can't think of the name of the theater. But
Steve?
Yeah, I What's that?
Steve?
No.
That's a joke Steve? For our listeners. I'm not surprised that it... I knew it was going to... Whatever. That Double Live 45 is amazing. It sounds great, first of all. But it's such a cool idea, and Another Tear Goes Dry is just such a great song. And I love the whole concept. I loved even like the newest classic rock band or something like that.
All right.
Another one that I want to give a shout out to is somebody that we lost about a year ago, DB Curtis.
I don't think I've heard of him.
His name was Kurt Blazing, and he passed away last year, but everybody knew him as DB. He was a sound guy at the Carpet for years. I always just called him the grumpy old fucker. He always looked like he wanted to rip your head off, but he was the nicest fucking dude. Here's my favorite DB story. I was a merch bitch for LA Guns when they came through St. Cloud once, and you know, they came in and they did sound check, everything was great, and the opening band, and their name escapes me for whatever reasons, I just can't remember, and they showed up and the drummer goes, where am I going to set up? And DB just looks at him and goes, well, you got three options. You can set up in front of the drums. Or he goes, he asked him, are they going to move the drums? He goes, you got three options. You can set up in front of the drums, on the side, on the dance floor, or you can just get the fuck out of here because nobody's here to see you. Like, this, DB, you are God. That is the greatest thing I've ever heard. Right, awesome. On.
That has awesome. A cool story.
DB was a straight shooter. I miss that guy.
Now, another one that it goes back a few years, but we talked about, and we should talk a little Slave Raider. Maybe we'll pause here for that.
Oh, God, yeah.
Nikki Wicked passed away a few years back. That was kind of, well, for someone like me out of nowhere, I guess, you know, I'm not sitting there, you know, with him every day, but that sucked.
Yeah, that was a tough one, man. That was a tough one.
I got into them organically, considering where I was at the time. Now, are you familiar with the town of Owatonna, Minnesota? It's right off of 35.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course, yeah.
All right. But, you know, it's not exactly a hotbed of musical or artists. It's, you know, growing up and stuff. So that was my base. But a local, it was actually more of a stereo TV store that sold some music. They had the Take the World by Storm cassette there, and I don't know, just on a whim, because that thing did not look impressive. I was like, local rock, though. I was like, because I was just starting to play guitar. I was just imagining myself, like, I want to support this. I think, you know, my paper route money and stuff. I think that fucking record kicks ass, man.
Ah, dude, it rules. Here, I have a good Slave Raider story for you. I think it was my sophomore year in high school. There was riots going on in St. Cloud. It was the famous St. Cloud stay-at-homecoming riots. During these riots,
they refused to serve mac and cheese at lunch or something.
It was probably making
fun of a horrible thing, but
it started over homecoming and a band that they didn't book or something like that. I don't know. It was something stupid. So people started lighting couches on fire and drinking beers in the streets, and that turned into the St. Cloud State homecoming riots.
We just call that Saturday night.
Pretty much. Yeah, you're basically Wisconsin inside of Minnesota.
Really, we always call St. Cloud the Owatonna of North Minnesota.
I always said St. Cloud is actually the Wisconsin of Minnesota because you go to Wisconsin, you automatically get drunk. And it was the same thing about St. Cloud. But while this was going on, Slave Raider was playing at the red carpet. And across the street, there was a record store at the time called the Wax Museum. Then it was called the Electric Fetus. I don't know if it's still there or not. I think it is.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're in St. Cloud. Yeah.
Yeah, in St. Cloud. There's another Electric Fetus in the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
And I think one in Duluth, too, or something like that.
There is.
But anyways... Yeah. They were doing an in-store signing, so I went in, and I still have it. It's hanging on my wall in one of those record frame things. They had the record flats.
Yeah,
I had. So I have the original band signature on the What Do You Know About Rock and Roll album cover.
Until They reunited at one of the Edge Fests. They were the headliner on the second night.
I think I saw them. The first time I saw them was in high school. That was when they were doing Bigger, Badder, Bolder. So they were a four piece.
Okay. Yeah, I actually, they're in the back here, but I bought Bigger, Badder, Bolder recently on the reissue, but I haven't even bothered to open it. I never liked the record. It just really wasn't the same without Letitia, and I don't know.
Yeah, well, Tommy D is fucking amazing. I remember when I was working at the press, they did a show there, and it was one of the reunion shows, but Nikki wasn't there, so Happy was playing.
Oh, wow.
And I asked Letitia, like, you guys going to do anything off of a Bigger, Badder, Bolder? And she starts laughing. She goes, I don't fuck with Tommy stuff. I don't fuck with Tommy stuff. Right, just because he's such a great player. I mean, look, I love the single DOA. I love the song Bigger, Badder, Bolder. There's a couple highlights on there. But yeah, it's not as good as the other two albums, but it's got its moments. I mean, sure. It's not as bad as The Elder.
Well, easy now. Tread lightly, Izzy. Tread lightly. what about going back to Take the World by Storm? Is there a standout track for you in that? Or?
Oh, man, dude. That's tough. So there used to be this jam at Sharky's.
Rest in peace, Sharky's Underground.
Yeah, right?
For the whole thing, yeah, not just Underground.
Yeah. And Happy and Dan Dryden put it on with Danny McBoy. I would always go up and sing Slave Raider. And I would do, Make Some Noise. And one time I was doing it, and I always did the chainsaw moves, you know, the whole nine yards. And I'm doing all that. I look over, and there's Chain. I'm like, oh, God, he's going to kick my ass. And no, he was laughing his ass off. He thought it was great. Favorite track on that album? Oh, God. Oh, it's like picking a favorite track off of a Kiss record.
Like The Elder.
It's... No, I said a Kiss record. Look, I'm Jason, you're not going to get Fonzie Cool Points by pretending you like The Elder.
I do not
it's
pretend.
It's just not going to happen.
There's no way this is a gimmick.
Actually like The Elder.
Yeah, I would. It's definitely, like, if I rank I probably have it written down somewhere. It's definitely, if I rank all their records, which I like them all except for three. There's three I don't routinely go back to. The Elder hit still top 10.
Stop lying to yourself. Stop pretending. It's not cool. It's not good. It's flaming hot garbage.
Wait a second. Are you telling me it's not cool? I haven't heard that before.
I'm going to use my craft beer analogy.
Okay.
I could drink whiskey and eat Taco Bell for a week, and what would come out of my ass smells better than craft beer. It's the same thing with The Elder. It still smells better than The Elder.
To me, The Elder is more like the McRib of records. Just so good. Two things. Oh, man. Well, there goes our symbioticness. Does that mean you're going to decline my invitation to my annual McRib Elderathon?
Yes. Sorry, I will not be there. I'll be there in spirit.
I was hoping to hire Act to play.
All right, we're there. Okay. We're there. We're just not going to play anything off the fucking Elder.
Okay.
You can play a Dark Light before we come on stage.
There we go. All right. Worst song on the record.
God. What?
Yes.
I am just a boy. Come on, get the fuck out of here.
Fair
enough.
You're fucking with... You know what? I'm going to put Dark Light above Just a Boy, but pretty much nothing else on there.
Terrible. Terrible. God.
But only because it makes me look good with the chicks.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Black Hole.
Yeah, that whole second side is just so fun. You know, you think if I ask a question like that, I'm prepared to answer, but I'm really not. I think the one thing that I don't really gravitate towards is Make Some Noise, but it's still pretty good. It's not like I don't like it. It's just like that might be my least favorite song on a record that I like front to back. Let me just grab it here. I've
brought it down. Where the fuck did I put it?
All right, so it starts off with What Do You Know About Rock and Roll? Track two is...
You're on a different record.
No. I mean, track one is Take the World by Storm.
Burning Too Hot or Long Way From Home are great. But you know what? Like you said, the whole thing is fucking killer.
Yeah, dude. I thought you were going to be cool and pull out the vinyl.
I was about to say it's on my Discogs list, but what the fuck does that mean? That just means I haven't pulled the fucking trigger on paying $20 for a record I want.
No, dude, hold on. Here's a great Kiss Geek story and how much us Kiss Geeks take care of each other. I got hit up by somebody yesterday, and he goes, Izzy, do you have the originals? Funny you should ask. I do, but it's at home. Somewhere in my mom's storage, and she doesn't know where my albums are. So I've repopulated my album collection out here, and I do not have the originals. And I was just looking at it the other day at a music store out here for $99. And I didn't tell this guy that.
Everyone I see is beat
just
up.
Hold on.
Was it in good condition?
Hold on. He goes, well, I don't listen to my records anymore, and I think you should have it. It's got all the inserts, and it's got everything.
Wow.
And he sent me a picture, and he goes, Jesus. What's your address? I'm going to send it to you. So that's what us Kiss geeks do for each other.
That's not my experience with Kiss fans, but let me just sidetrack a little bit. Do you recall, it would have been, I think, Facebook conversation, and in the comments, like a public comment thing, not like a private message deal. You posted something about a flip sticker that you were looking for, and I happened to have one in my office. And I said, you mean this one? And you only replied with a street address. and I was like,
one.
yeah, baby. And I was like, is that your address? And you're like, yep. If I had more than one, I was going
to... You still haven't sent it to me.
No, I really only got the one. I do have the lunchbox. I don't know if you can see that.
I have a lunchbox signed by all four original members of Flip.
Well, aren't you special? Mine is not autographed. The worst thing is Bryn sat right over there, and I didn't even ask him to sign anything. So I'm not much of an autograph guy, but...
I know, but sometimes I just have to. I mean, so he used this at the
now
Flip
that,
show.
By the way, that's how people should be autographing fucking guitars.
Yep.
Back of the headstock, baby. Gene Simmons likes to write a paragraph on the top of the front, and then, like, if you actually want to play the thing, it just gets sweated on and drips away.
Dude, exactly. Like, here's a good one. So, my Richie Kotzen. My Richie Kotzen Telecaster. If you're not a fan of Richie Kotzen, you need to be a fan of Richie Kotzen.
I'll add that to the Cheap Trick pile, but...
I will send you a Kotzen video and you will kill yourself.
He's
for not
an amazing
liking
guitar player.
So I told Richie I was getting one of these. There's no strings on it right now because I have to change a battery in it. But I told him, I was like, would you sign the back of my headstock? He's like, oh, yeah, that's awesome. So it'll be worth more on eBay. But but I know Richie. He was busting my balls. So. On the Monsters of Rock Cruise, because I host this jam on the Monsters of Rock Cruise, which is coming up next month, and it's all Cheap Trick, by the way. I told Richie, it's like, well, you bringing more than one guitar? He goes, no, I'm just bringing my Tele. I'm like, well, I'm going to have my Tele with, so you can use it as a backup if needed. He's like, I probably won't need it, but cool, thanks, man. And so after the show, I'm like, well, would you sign my headstock? So he's like, yeah. So I got my Kotzen signature signed by Richie.
So was that your request with Bryn too? Like that? Like that's your move? Is like sign it there?
Yeah, because I want to play the fucking thing.
Yeah, exactly. No,
it's not as good as this one though. This one's the best. So this is my fake Ace Frehley Chinese copy.
The Tommy Thayer Budokan guitar.
Yeah. Oh, what's that?
Tommy Thayer guitar.
Hold on. I got all
fake.
10 middle fingers for you, by the way.
you said fake. I thought it was a compliment.
I know. Nice. Well played. No, it's a Chinese knockoff.
Sure, yeah.
And they did it all the way down to the signature.
That's not real? Oh, God.
That's hilarious.
I have an Ace Frehley. God, fuck. I should know this. See, I remember I told you I'm horrible at gear, right? This is the one guitar that's packed away that I really don't even pull out and play. But there is one of, it's one of 51. Got it in the 90s. And it is, all of them were signed by Ace Frehley on the pickguard. But the guitar came with a, an unsigned pickguard on it. And the signed pickguard was separate and put in the little cavity in the neck part of the case.
Yeah. Is it a Les Paul?
Yeah, it is. It's
the one that's got this picture on the headstock.
No, no, no. It's before that. Oh. This is before he rejoined Kiss. Yeah. He was with, it's like a 93, 94. And it was a run of 51. But a quick Les Paul question. Have you ever snapped the headstock off any of those fuckers? One of the reasons I keep this thing packed away is because it's snapped off.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. That's a common.
What the fuck, man?
I don't know what it is. But here's the odd thing. Is you want that to happen. Because once they're repaired properly, they're better.
Okay.
If you see a Les Paul that's used and it doesn't have that smile, don't get it.
Looks like an angry face to me. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Boy, what a disappointing moment that was. I'm like, man, I've knocked over a lot of guitars and that's never happened.
Well, all right. I'll tell you my story about that. Okay.
All right. I see London. I see France.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I'm just trying to paint a picture for the listener is all. You know, the ladies, I'm sorry, the lady that's listening.
Yeah.
So seen this guitar. I absolutely love this one before you get
this
anyway.
This is my main guitar for Ack. It's a Les Paul. I think it's a 2013. It was a gift. It was a birthday present from a listener of the show.
Wow. And
I was doing a Kiss jam.
I got a cameo from Mitch Malloy.
It was from just all teeth.
Yeah.
It was all teeth and hair.
Anyway, sorry.
And so I was doing a cruiser jam on the Megadeth cruise 2 years ago.
Ooh.
And right before COVID. And I did sound check. Everything was great. Set the guitar on the stand. I walked away and I heard, ooh, boom. I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. I picked it up, and it was, I'm like, oh, no. I almost started crying. And
it is amazing. Like, I think now that we've both been through it, it's weird. You could probably deal with it easier, right? But in that moment, when you see that headstock, just, it is like, I bet I turned white as a sheet. I was like, what the fuck? Anyway.
Yeah, and I know somebody at the Gibson Custom Shop. So nice. it was repaired and there's no smile.
Oh my Lord. Look at that. Bringing it just a little closer so I can see. I know exactly the area to look at.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look at that fix job. So, Cody Higby over at the custom Gibson shop. Thank you.
Does he live in St. Cloud by chance? I could just,
No. He lives in Nashville. And next time I go to Nashville, he's going to take me through the garage, through the real part of the garage.
Well, if the next time is next Rockin' Pod, you know how to, hook me up with, hook me up with a plus one. So
what you did there, I saw it.
Yeah.
Sorry, man. I had to switch hats. I had to go to the Ham's beer hat.
Oh, nice. Yeah. You're keeping it Minnesota. So that's
all exactly.
Good. So, all right.
It's from the land of Sky Blue Waters.
It is.
It's a pure refreshing. It's Ham's.
All right. Well, getting back to the bands here. Here are some of the ones I wrote down, because we talked about, you mentioned a bunch of them. Now, we're both too young to have ever seen Obsession, Bryn's first band, or at least first notable band.
Or Funhouse.
Janice Figure. I saw them with Flip a ton. Absolutely loved them. Did you ever catch those guys?
No, I did see Johnny Clueless.
Yeah, I saw them too.
Yeah, yeah. Paragon, there's another good one.
Oh, yeah. What about like some old schooler guys like The Replacements or Husker Du? Did you ever get into them much?
I am the worst Minnesotan ever because I cannot stand Husker Du. I like one Replacement song, and that's it. I just don't get. I'd rather hear Flip.
Well, me too.
I don't like Dylan.
Did you go through Trent. A punk phase at all?
No.
Okay. I think you kind of need to do that to like either one of those bands.
Yeah.
Dylan, I'm with you. I don't even think Dylan counts as a Minnesotan, to be honest with you.
I'm not a huge Prince guy. I respect the hell out of him.
That's where I'm at too.
Other than a handful of songs, it's like, I've seen him live. It was great. It was phenomenal. But,
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing but mad respect for him and the way he handled himself and his career and then, of course, his talent. But musically, yeah. He was so... But that's what I almost appreciate, is that, like, he just did so much stuff that like, I'm just going to do this. Fuck everybody. And this certain group of people just kept going with it. And that's great, too. But, we're hard rock guys, though. You know what I mean? And when Prince did rock and roll and pulled out the guitar, I think he really delivered
for us. Oh, dude, look, when he blew everybody off the stage at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that
God.
Year. Talk about a pimp. He just destroyed and disappeared. I mean, that's a fucking pimp.
Maybe that was our Super Bowl. And by the way, greatest Super Bowl halftime show. You know what I mean? Absolutely. Probably one of the last live ones. And it fucking rained during Purple Rain. Yeah. And he just kept playing.
Dude,
and,
you want a weird story about that. So I host a show. Well, not since COVID started. But there's a jam out here that I host called Soundcheck Live. It's like an all-star jam.
Sure.
Thing.
No, I know you've mentioned it quite a bit.
And I'm the MC of it. And so the week after Prince died, they did 3 hours of Prince. And it was phenomenal. And when they were about to do Purple Rain, I went outside to have a cigarette. And as they started Purple Rain, it started raining in Los Angeles.
Wow.
And it never rains in Southern California, just like the song. It pours. ba-dum-cha! That's the lyric from the song. Ba-dum-cha! That's
ba-dum-cha,
the lyric.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it was like, wow, dude. That was fucking freaky.
Man.
God damn it. Why do people call me?
they want to bang you, bro.
Nah, it's a dude.
Oh, well, doesn't mean I'm wrong.
Well, it is Los Angeles. Win in Rome, I guess.
We're just about a month out of the Monsters of Rock cruise, which, of course, you do a whole ton of shit on. My co-host is going to be out there. So he'll be probably tapping you on his shoulder at some time on that deal. What do you got going on? I know you're doing something with Eddie Trunk and the metal show guys. What else has happened? Well, break that down. Tell me everything.
So the main reason I'm on there is hosting karaoke with fellow Minnesotan Brian Ott. We do that every year, and we do a gong show karaoke contest.
Haven't heard that name in a while. That's awesome.
You know Brian, yeah.
Not personally. Right.
Yep. But yeah, Brian's an amazing fucking musician.
Yep.
But our shtick together is phenomenal. So that we are the late night shit show party on the Monsters of Rockers.
And that's a live band karaoke, correct?
It's not live band.
Oh,
it's not
live band. Good thing I cleared that up. But
that's all right. But so we do that every night. We do karaoke on there. It's the late night party. Then I do my cruiser jam, which is usually just one show on the cruise. This year we're doing two sets of Cheap Trick, one Budokan, one not Budokan.
I thought you were taking a cheap shot at me, pun intended. But you were actually serious. You're doing all Cheap Trick.
Cool. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the great thing about the cruiser jam is I have artists and cruisers playing together. So people that pay to get on the boat, they get to play with bands that are on the boat. It's awesome.
Right.
And then you know, we are doing punchlines and backlines on the boat. I can't tell you who the special guest musician comic is because it has not been announced yet.
Is it Steve?
No.
Okay.
No. You talking about Steve Brown?
No, again, that's a Steve joke for our listeners. Okay. Sorry. Yeah, I I should apologize in advance, but it's too late.
All right. You just need to have shirts to say, hi, I'm Steve.
Oh, yeah. Those are coming. Check out the Cobras and Fire web store for that soon. So
there you go. But, yeah, it's going to be myself, the gal that I produce it with, Courtney Cronin-Dold, Don Jameson.
I know her very well. So.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, through the KISS community.
Actually, no. This is how I met Courtney and first found out about her. Was at the first Rockin' Pod.
Okay.
We were arranged to be picked up at the airport at the same time.
Oh, nice.
And
nice,
so,
nice.
She basically from there to the hotel gave me the whole background on her. And then she was on our show that weekend. So
nice.
I knew nothing about her pod, the whole pop show she does. And of course her love for KISS, but
yeah,
anyway.
Absolutely. So it's us two, Don Jameson, Jim Florentine, possibly one more comic, or if that comic is not going to do it, then we will have another artist.
Steve?
Steve.
Finally, it's so, Steve, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
I'll tell you off the air. I'll tell you off the air.
Sure, okay, fair enough.
Because it's going to be hilarious. It is going to be awesome. And then I just do random shit on the boat, you know, announcing. There might be another thing. We'll see. I can't say anything about it because we don't know if it's going to happen or not. We're ready if needed. So I figured it out. I'm probably going to have possibly 10 to 11 shows on
awesome.
The boat. Yeah.
Now, will you be wearing that green?
No. That has been sold. I got
bought that.
I got $530 for it.
Unreal. Did you
and
wash
this
it
is
or
a,
not?
This, of course. But this is an absolute true story. So I put it on eBay as a joke for $20. Think, it's one of the cruisers will buy it as a joke. And then the morning show at the time on Rockin' 101, Steel Toe Morning Show, they caught wind of it. So they jokingly put it up in the last couple hours of the auction. They put it up on their Facebook page and started talking about it on the air. Then all of a sudden, it started going up, and also it was at like $75. I get a text, and I happen to still be up. Are you recording the video?
No.
Okay, so I happen to still be up that night, and fucking Ward. So I happen to still be up. Actually, I was just going to bed. I was up drinking all night. Just because it was the pandemic. Well, that was the fucking right. I know it wasn't pandemic yet. That was 2019. Yeah, that was pre-pandemic. Was it 18? It was 19. It was right before the pandemic. And I get a text from the co-host, dude, you have to call in right now. I'm like, why? He's like, dude, have you seen your auction? I'm like, yeah, it's odd. It keeps, why? Why? He goes, call in. So I called in and I was on the air with them live until it ended.
Wow.
And as this thing is going on, he started the Aaron started getting the host started getting texts from his advertisers and say, I want to throw in gift certificates on this and stuff like that. So people really wanted the gift certificates. And then it got up to like $280. I go, Aaron, I'll make a deal with you. If this hits $350, you have to wear this on stage this weekend at your comedy show. And he goes, no, not going to happen. It'll never hit that. You know what? It'll never hit it anyway. So, yes, I will. Forgetting what his listeners are like. They will do anything they can to embarrass him.
Awesome.
$530 later, Izzy, I was able to book a round-trip flight for $130. I got to fly home, short notice, do an act show in St. Cloud. I got to do stand-up opening for the Steel Toe comedy show, and I got paid for that, and I gotta see my mom, I gotta get some beer, and I came home.
I was going to say you could buy a lot of Mick Golden Light with that $530.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Nah. So, yeah, it was great. It was great. It was a quick impromptu thing, and it was awesome.
We've talked about this when we were in Nashville, but I had no idea that Mick Golden Light was not available out there until this. Prior to that, when you were home for a little bit and you posted a picture of your trunk driving back. So when you're flying, what do you do?
Usually just have just a case.
Okay. Well, still, do you throw it in a suitcase or?
Yeah, you have to. You have to check it.
That's why I'm asking. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, you have to check it. But next time I come back, not only am I going to come back with 10 cases of Mick Golden Light, I am going to come back with a case of Schlitz. Mm. I am going to come back with a case of Old Swill. Maybe Schmidt. We'll see. We'll see. Hams I can get out here. but I'm going to stock up on
Buckhorn.
Shitty old man. Maybe. Why not? Why not?
Come on, it's too bad.
Maybe a nice case of Stroh's.
Ooh, there we go. A 30 pack.
Yeah, Stroh's Light.
You know, it's just Stroh's backwards in shorts.
Ah. Wow, you learn something new every day. But yeah, I'm going to stock up on shitty old man beer. Along with my glorious Michelob Golden Light.
What's your favorite IPA?
The one that goes down the one I love watching go down the sink as I'm pouring it out and not drinking it.
You and me both, brother. I am the opposite of a beer snob. There's a couple of the fancier beers that aren't too bad, but honestly, my guttural feeling and all this stuff is that like every one of these like microbrews, we only sell our own shit places that are just everywhere in industrial neighborhoods now. It's like there's four beers and then they have the same four and they all smell and taste the same, and then when people drink them, they're like, yeah, this one's actually really good. I can
No, it's not.
You're all
it's
fucking
like
liars.
It's like pretending to like the Elder. I mean, come on. I always love it when they don't have domestic beers at a place. I'm like, I just want a fucking Bud Light. How hard is that?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have a Golden Light. Like, well, this one's like a Bud Light. No, it's not.
Oh, my God. I was in a bar in Owatonna. Do you remember Miller Clear?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, not Miller. I'm sorry. Miller Red. It was basically just called Miller, and it had a red label on it. They called it Miller Red. And they had like a product endorser of Miller on site when I went into there. And he was like, well, if you like Budweiser, you'll like this. I'm like, well, if I like Budweiser, why would I not just order a Budweiser? Why are you? It's just,
right. Exactly.
Didn't even make any fucking sense.
Not quantum physics.
Yeah. It's like canned beer, bottle beer tastes in a can. Well, why don't I just get a fucking bottle of beer? They're not
exactly.
That heavy.
Exactly.
All right, Izzy, this has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate this. Like I said, it was really fun to meet you finally after all these years.
Likewise, man.
Yeah, we'll do this again at some point. But if you ever need anybody to like get a paid vacation to go on one of these cruises with you, just put me on the short list, please.
Well, first of all, you don't have a vagina. but dude, thank you
how
again.
Do you
but,
know?
But yes. So you're one of those, hi, my name is Alice.
I'm not saying anything more. I'm just saying the unknown is the unknown.
Just really quick, you can anybody can find me at Real Izzy Presley all the way across the board, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Show page for Another Effin' Podcast is at Another Effin' Podcast for now. Now that Metal Edge is involved, that's going to be changing down the line. We will be doing a live show, recording a live show, myself and Paul Gargano from Metal Edge Magazine on the boat, who is my co-host on the show.
Cool.
What else do we got? Hit up at Ack Ace Tribute, Twitter and Facebook, to follow the Ace Frehley tribute, because there is some stuff rumbling for that right now. What else do we got really quick? Monsters of Rock Cruise, of course. We have Cruise of the Edge in May, which is the Prague Cruise. I'm the best looking girl on the Prague Cruise because girls don't like Prague. Except for the gals that come on with the musicians. No, I joke about that. Those fans are so hardcore, and God bless them.
It's like the women's room line at a Slayer show.
Or Rush.
Yeah.
Or Rush.
A lot of dudes.
I'm trying to think really quick. Venmo is at Real Izzy Presley. Cash App is $ Izzy Presley. I'm all over. You can find me.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not hard to track you down. And you're an open onion. You cut it open, it makes you cry. So, how about a more realistic thing? If you ever do another act show in Minnesota, let me come up and play a song.
Absolutely.
All right. Can I be like Act 13 or a 14 or something like that?
We'll add you to the list. I am seriously going to do this. When we're done, I have to do the sign-ups for the set for the Bruticon show. And tonight, I will go on Facebook and Twitter, and I will list every single member, official member of ACK, a tribute to Ace Frehley. And my goal is to beat LA Guns, because I think they're at like 72 members.
It's over 100. Over 100.
Is it over 100?
I know for it.
Look on their Wikipedia. So, well, and it's ironic because my bass player is in LA Guns. So there you go.
You got that going for you. Hey, the LA Guns show you mentioned earlier, any chance Mini Kiss was opening for them?
No.
Because they played at what was that place called? It's gone now. Nuts. The Star Bar, maybe? Yeah, anyway, I saw LA Guns with Mini Kiss opening for him in the Twin Cities.
That is funny. No, it was not Mini Kiss. It was a local Minnesota band. I think they were a Cities band. I cannot remember their name for the life of me. I wish I could remember so I could call them out, because I would.
All right.
And it was just their drummer that was just, what do you mean he's not going to move his drum kit? They're not here to see you, asshole. Oh, Kurt ruled. Here's another quick, this is a Brian Ott, Kurt story. Brian was like playing bass for some band at the Carpet, and he could not get the thing to fucking work. It's like, I don't know, the tuner's not on. Why am I fucking getting nothing? Kurt comes up and just presses a button. He goes, try this, dumbass. And he, boom, he hit it. Oh, okay. It's just better. Brian tells the story much better than I, but that was Kurt, and fucking God damn, I miss that guy.
Right on, man. Thanks so much, Izzy. Like I said, it's always a pleasure. I feel like we've just tapped some of the stories, so we'll definitely try to get you back on at some point. So,
dude, I got stories.
All right,
I got
buddy.
Stories.
Rock is not dead.
But it is crawling up out of the black hole.
So dark, so very deep, the climb up unbelievably steep, draining our power from within, stealing away the will to win. Of the black hole.
I don't think I've been on Skype since I've been on America Online.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.